Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 19th of February, year of our Lord, 2026. Well, we're seeing some interesting reversals. It's amazing how the Trump administration is so adept at changing the narrative and getting people to think that they're doing one thing. And then a couple of days later, they go back and they reverse it. I've talked about what they did with Planned Parenthood, how they made a big display of stopping the funding of Planned Parenthood. And then quietly, a few months later, they just dropped all of that and decided they would fund it again. Now we're seeing that after Trump has made a big production of getting out of the World Health Organization, that all the mechanisms and the funding, a lot of new funding, for the next pandemic to continue to work with the World Health Organization. And of course, the FDA was reported just a couple of days ago. Good news. They're going to stop this mRNA vaccine approval for Moderna. Well, now they have switched on that as well. And they've not only switched, but they're going to accelerate it. And then of course, there's the artificial intelligence data centers that are eating rural communities alive, even as his tariffs destroy the farms. We'll be right back. And of course, what might be the biggest distraction of them all, although not something that is unexpected, and that is the coming war with Iran that appears to be happening. I got a message here. We are live streaming on Substack as well now. So I'll have to add that to our website just to let people know. That is the kind of thing that we usually forget to do. So we'll let people know that we live stream on Substack as well as Twitter and Rumble. Where else, Travis?
Twitter, Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, DLive.
Okay. All right, good.
Substack.
A lot of places. Okay. I knew we were on all those different places. I just didn't know
places.
If we did it. Yeah, didn't know if we did that and some of those places only after the fact, but you can also find the archives there as well. But when we talk about distractions, we also had the back and forth distraction that took people away from what was going on with so many important issues. We had Obama casually throw out, yeah, the aliens are real. And everybody, he said the aliens are real. He said, well, Laura Trump kind of did the same thing as well. You know, don't ever let a good distraction go unused. She said that Donald Trump has got his UFO speech ready. She said she was being interviewed on Fox. My father-in-law actually said it, that there is some speech that I guess at the right time, and I don't know when the right time is, he's going to break it out and he's going to talk about it. And it has to do with maybe some sort of extraterrestrial life, so to speak. Yeah, they will do that. Of course, you know, I think one of the biggest wag the dog distractions that we're going to have is going to be this Iran war. A lot of issues involved with that, but it is going to get everybody to stop talking about Epstein for a while. So we'll serve that purpose. you know, when we look at the Trump alien stuff, somebody actually put up a video of it. Let's see, where is that? I don't even see it here. Well, I guess we don't have that. Yeah, here it is.
You got punched in the face by the Fresh Prince.
Tonight, history was made on the White House lawn as humanity made first contact with extraterrestrial life.
His name is Zorg. He is an extra cholesterol.
President sat down for what was meant to be a historic, peaceful exchange, but quickly realized...
He's here just to fuck with me.
Well, you get the idea. He's an extra cholesterol, and then it shows them eating McDonald's. So maybe that's part of the statement that's there. Well, getting on to more serious issues, we had Tucker Carlson was criticizing Huckabee and what he was doing. Huckabee said, well, instead of talking about me, why don't you talk to me? Come to Israel. So Tucker Carlson goes to Israel, and the first thing that's surfaced about this was an article from the Jerusalem Post. The headline was, he wouldn't leave the airport. You know, wasn't there a Bill Murray movie about that or something, I think? Anyway, this is the way it was.
Tom Hanks.
Was Tom Hanks, okay. This is the way that it's portrayed, that, you know, Tucker's really strange. He just came, he interviewed Huckabee at the airport, and then he got on his plane and left. That's how much he hates us. And then he contacted Carlson contacted the Daily Mail and said, well, actually, this is really bizarre. He says, I was detained. Carlson told the Daily Mail that Israeli officials took his passport and escorted his executive producer to an interrogation room. Men who identified themselves as airport security took our passports, hauled our executive producer into a side room, and then demanded to know what we spoke to Ambassador Huckabee about. It was bizarre. We are now out of the country, he said. Now, Huckabee, always willing to make an excuse for the conduct of Israel. As a matter of fact, when they fired missiles at some civilians, he goes, well, you know, missiles, they go here and they go there and they, you know, they hit people a little bit. It's like, yeah, no big deal. It just, something happens when you fire missiles. It's like, yeah, the rest of us noticed that as well. That's why we're criticizing it. Anyway, he said, everyone who comes in and out of Israel, every country for that matter, he says, has passports checked. Has routinely asked security questions. Even me going in and out with diplomatic passport and diplomatic visa, he said. Well, we've all traveled enough to know what that looks like. It's not being taken into another room and interrogated. And quite frankly, this isn't the first rodeo or the first air flight of Tucker or his crew. I mean, they travel quite a bit. None of this, as described, is anything that would be routine. According to the Jerusalem Post, Carlson didn't leave the airport during his visit. I conducted the interview with Huckabee at the terminal. In the past, Israel has blacklisted U.S. politicians and activists who are critical of the politicians. This is the thing that is just so amazing to me. This is like the fog, the brain fog of the Trump people who hate the vaccine and they hate so many, the pandemic and all these other policies of Trump. They absolutely despise, but they will not connect it to Trump. And you have people who are conservatives and Christians, and they hate the kind of policies that Netanyahu has. And yet they won't connect it to them. Because, again, even though he's just a politician of a foreign country, there's something sacred about this. They've got him covered in layer after layer of imaginary prophecies that they think are going to happen there. And look, whatever you think about that, whatever you think about your eschatology, that's a completely different thing than the Netanyahu regime that is there. Those are completely disconnected, and yet they've created this aura of sanctimonious aura around them that, you know, this is some kind of, if you talk about Netanyahu, you not only hate Jews, you hate God and all the rest of this. It's absolutely insane how they have protected him with this phony narrative. They've encapsulated him and put him at the center of a biblical narrative. He's just a politician that's not even popular in Israel. It took him a very long time to try to put together a coalition government, and a lot of Jews who are outside of Israel do not like Netanyahu as well. So, again, it said he was detained, and I know how that works. Am I under arrest? No. So then I'm free to go. No, you're not. That is one of the most infuriating things, to have that told to you. And I'm sure that got him pretty upset. He's going to have a lot to say about that. Then he was trolled by David Friedman, the former U.S. ambassador to Israel during Trump's first term. Friedman said, "It's too bad that Tucker stayed in the airport in the face of so many invitations to see so many wonderful places. A huge and obviously intentionally missed opportunity," he said. Yet two sources familiar with the matter told the Daily Mail that the Israeli government initially did not want to allow Carlson into the country, prompting a delicate negotiation with the State Department. In the end, the Israeli government decided not to bar Carlson from entering the country in order to avoid a diplomatic incident right here as they're about to be brothers in arms going to fight Israel's wars for them. A spokesman for the U.S. Embassy in Israel denied that Carlson was detained.
"Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Claimed that he received the same passport control questions that countless visitors to Israel, including Huckabee and other diplomats, receive as part of a normal entrance and exit from Israel. I don't believe that for a minute. Not for a minute. As he said and others said, it was bizarre. They travel a lot. And then we have something else that's very bizarre. We have, and this is at a Department of Defense educational activity program, school, that's being run by the Department of Defense. Remember, you know, this is one of the pet peeves, so to speak, furries and trannies. Furries are a pet peeve of Pentagon Pete, and they should be, quite frankly. They should be taken out of the schools, and yet there is an individual like this in a school that's being run by the Department of Defense at Fort Bragg. They've changed the name back to Fort Bragg, but they haven't gotten rid of the trannies that are there in the school. This guy is dressing provocatively, they said, as a female. He is a teacher in charge of kindergarten and pre-kindergarten kids. Isn't it interesting how these characters hang out with the very, very young? That was what this guy, Richard Levine, or what he called himself, Rachel Levine, I think. I call him Dick Devine. Anyway, that's what he always did. He always a child psychologist. It's like, yeah, you're messing with these kids' minds, aren't you? So this is a guy who dresses provocatively as a female, teaching kindergarten and pre-kindergarten kids, confusing them as he also wears a dog collar and an animal tail in class. He insists that he turns into a wolf and that he could eat the children. And he tells the kids that they've got to howl like wolves and more. I guess we could say this is a wolf in creep's clothing, right? And so this one little girl comes to her mother and says, "Mommy, I'm scared. He's going to come eat me." Who's going to come eat you? Her daughter said, Ms. Roxy. That's what this guy calls himself. Ms. Roxy. Was he a trainee stripper in off hours? Name of Ms. Roxy. He told us he turns into a wolf at night. When parents reported this behavior to the Department of Defense school administrators in early 2025, then again in January of 2026, they were told that the administrators can't do anything about how he dresses because there's no official dress code. And because he's transgender, he gets a pass. You know, part of this is the tenure system that is in the schools. And again, that is a big reason why our kids never went to school. Karen was a teacher and was teaching in an open classroom. And I've mentioned before, so I won't go into all the details, but there was horrific psychological abuse that the next teacher was doing to a particular kid. And she could hear it because open classrooms, they don't have full walls. They just have little partitions that are there. Very distracting way to have to conduct classes. But she could hear what was happening. She went to the principal and talked about it. She said, "We can't do anything about it. She's got tenure." Karen said, "We're not going to ever put our kids in schools like that." And that's what a lot of people are deciding. We've had public school enrollment has declined by 750,000 students since 2014. And yet at the same time, public school employment has grown by 600,000 positions. So the bureaucracy continues to metastasize like a cancer, even though the students are leaving and going elsewhere. Total annual public school spending is nearing $1 trillion nationally. This is like the Defense Department budget. It's amazing, and we can't do anything about it, right?
I've just got to say, you know, imagine you're someone that is, you know, you're a military guy. You know, you're not paying too close of attention, but you're one of these guys that really thinks joining the military is going to help save America. You're fighting for freedom. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and you find the government has hired a tranny furry to teach your children.
Yeah. Just if your kindergarten kids, pre-kindergarten even, you know, where it's really going to have, it's going to have a huge effect on them.
I cannot imagine a more rapid or harsher disillusionment. I cannot imagine someone having this happen or not going, "This is what I'm fighting for." Endemic of the whole system. This is what you're fighting for.
And then look at what they're going to tell them about the country, about what this country is about its founding, about its principles and ethics, how they undermine that as well. If you're fighting for the country, trying to maintain the American ideals, while the schools are undermining that constantly.
Thomas Jefferson, evil slave owner. Mm-hmm. Tranny furry, good. This is their morality.
That's right. That's right. We got to stop funding this. I mean, that's $1 trillion a year. And it's incredible. Well, when we look at AI, this is one of the more interesting hallucinations of AI. This is somebody who obviously was using this to post stuff about rental property on the web, on Zillow. And the AI put a demonic figure coming out of the mirror in a bathroom. And this is not the first time this has happened either. So again, it's trying to tell you something. I think you should pay attention to what it's trying to say. This is a listing for
property. You get a discount when the AI starts manifesting evil entities into your home, you know?
That's right. This is, actually, I think this explains it though, Travis. This is a listing for rental property in Washington, D.C. So probably the AI looked at that and then imagined, oh yeah, there would be.
They just assumed there's demonic entities there and tried to give you a representation.
Yeah, Washington, demonic city. it's a kind of nightmarish creature that only an AI algorithm could have cooked up, and that's only a time-strapped realtor could fail to notice before posting for the entire world to see. One person said, "This is generally the worst thing to scroll past just before I fall asleep. The thing somehow struck raw primal fear in me at an unparalleled record high." And this is a listing that they put up on Zillow. Again, we're seeing all kinds of crazy stuff from these AI agents, from wiping people's data out. There was one guy who said, I thought I'd have the AI agent arrange my wife's pictures, and it deleted all of them. And they had a scare for a while. They didn't know that they had a backup that had been created for them by another program automatically. They thought they didn't have a backup at all of all the family photos. It's not even the first bathroom demon that renters have come across lately. A separate Reddit user noted that what appears to be a miniaturized woman holding a smartphone disconcertingly crouched on the top of a toilet tank. How do you not notice the melted demon crawling out of the wall before you hit publish, said one person. Well, how do we not notice some of the things that our politicians are doing? And why do we keep making excuses for them, right? And this is the reality of what is happening with, as I pointed out, with the pharmaceutical stuff, the pandemic stuff that's happening. But before we get to that, also the artificial intelligence stuff that is happening. As I said before, you know, people hate the mRNA stuff, and yet they don't realize just how fundamental it is to Trump and how he loves it and has pushed it, not only in his first term, but also in his second one. Remember, the very first day, he has the Stargate project, and it's going to combine artificial intelligence with mRNA. Maybe we should just call that AIM-RNA, right? You're going to aim it right at us.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And so it's always been about mRNA, but now he has added this other nightmare scenario, artificial intelligence, to it. A 600-acre AI data center could cost some Wisconsin residents their land. This is another kind of rural betrayal besides the tariffs that have eviscerated the farmers, and he has still yet to do anything. Remember? They did that, and immediately the Chinese tariffs, immediately China, as they did in his first administration, punish the farmers by saying, well, we're not going to buy any more soybean or corn or other things like that we're buying from you. And the Trump administration was so concerned about his fellow ally and elite club member, Javier Milei. I wonder if anybody looked to see if he's in the Epstein files. I think his Epstein was not accumulating documents by the time he came on the scene. Anyway, they immediately challenge $20 billion to Javier Milei in Argentina for his election, to get him reelected. And he uses that to subsidize soybean exports to China and to take what was an American business, and now that's been handed to this foreign government that's being subsidized by the American government. And so when people looked at that, and it wasn't just the direct amount of money that America gave to Argentina, but of course, Scott Bessent said he was going to put together a private funding for them that's going to be equal to that as well. So $40 billion. People say, well, wait a minute. What about all these soybean farmers that are going out of business and these others with other farm commodities. Oh, we'll do something for you. It's on the way. Help is on the way. And they've been saying that since September. In December, as you got a lot of farmers who are circling the drain and looking at Christmas coming around, they said, we'll do something in January. It's like, well, what are you waiting for? And of course, January has come and gone. Still nothing at all. Now they're going to confiscate people's property in order to put up artificial intelligence data centers for big corporations, for friends of Trump, the crony capitalists out there. And of course, remember, this has been something that has been getting worse all the time. I don't like eminent domain in the first place. But it gets even worse when the government does it for the benefit of a private corporation. Remember, we had the Supreme Court make the horrifically bad decision in the Kello case, Kello versus New London. That was back in 2005. And basically, it was eminent domain for the benefit of a private corporation. So taking one private person or entity's property for the benefit of another. Not for public benefit, not for a road or something like that. And then we've seen, subsequent to that, we've seen the Keystone Pipeline. They had a company, TransCanada, that was running the Keystone Pipeline. And so they were going to allow a foreign corporation to use eminent domain so they could run their pipeline across farms. And sometimes it's going to cut the farm right in half. And so some of them were worried about spills that would be coming from the pipeline, although the pipeline is far and away the safest way to move oil. You can still have accidents, but it was the impact of running that across their farmland that was really key. And it was, again, taking somebody's private property for the benefit of another private entity, and yet this was even a foreign private entity. And then we have the CO2 pipelines, which is an absurdity in the first place, and what they were going to do with that as well. Now we get this situation for the AI data centers. You know, the richest people that the world has ever seen in history, they need your property. And Donald Trump is going to hand it over to them because they party together, right? And we know what they do in the parties. So they start with a story of this guy who has lived on his property for 40 years, 52-acre property out in the rural area in Wisconsin. And he's facing what other residents in his town are facing, the risk of losing parts of his land to eminent domain. And they're also concerned, of course, about the electricity and water issues. Trump wants to just railroad this at the local level. You know, they passed, Trump and the Republicans passed the bill, the Genesis Act, saying you're not going to have anything to say about it. You're not going to stop our data centers or anything else about artificial intelligence. As they pointed out, one person said, look, I voted for Trump. I didn't really think about AI until it started to affect me, said a woman who lives at the site of a 400-acre data center that's in development just east of Kansas City. So this is in another area. This is in Missouri. And they're going to spend $6.5 billion on it, so they get to do whatever they want. If you buy the politicians, you buy the data centers and all the rest of the stuff, you get to do whatever you want. Money talks. And so she said it's not just a concern about water and electricity. She doesn't even like AI. She said, I've got grandchildren. And it does concern me that they're being drawn into a world that is not real, she said. This is what Trump is doing. And of course, it's the he continues to get away with this over and over again. Let me say, just before we go to break, the because we're going to have Tony Arterburn's going to join us today. We're going to get to talk about gold and what's happening. And I'm curious to see what he has to say about the upcoming war that is rapidly escalating in Iran. And yet, when we look at what is happening off the coast of Venezuela, isn't it interesting that now that they've got their regime changed, now that they've tentatively got control of the oil fields, although questions remain as to who's going to rehabilitate them and actually get them in working order, the U.S. military is still killing extrajudicially people in boats. I mean, Trump, this is something Trump is not moving away from. turning the war on drugs into a literal war. So you have the U.S. military now killing another 11 so-called narco-terrorists and three strikes on alleged drug-running boats. We don't, again, the issue is we don't know that these people are running drugs, right? As Rand Paul pointed out, 25% of the people are stopped by the Coast Guard. Once they look, they realize, well, we thought you were running drugs, but you're not running drugs. And they had a very detailed legal procedure for how that was supposed to happen. All of that, all the rule of law, all of the procedures that have been put together by the military, by the Coast Guard for so many things, or law enforcement, for immigration, all that stuff, Trump is just throwing the rule of law out the window. Folks, he's not killing narco-terrorists. He's killing law and the Constitution, and it's going to come home. The U.S. military conducted airstrikes on three vessels allegedly operated by designated terrorist organizations, said U.S. Southern Command. The U.S. has now carried out at least 41 strikes on alleged, and that's the key thing, we don't know. You blow them up, and who's to know that they were even carrying drugs? On alleged drug smuggling vessels killing 144 people in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific. As part of the efforts to dismantle narco-terrorist networks, the insane failed war on drugs is now going to be used for an actual war. It's not going to go away. This is not fun. He's gotten his regime changed, but he's still killing people. Monday night's strikes are the seventh to be conducted this year. Again, it is illegal. It is immoral. And it has no practical value, just like the war itself. And then there's this story about a previous attack. They attacked some boats. This particular one also had, I think, 11 people in it. Eight of them jumped overboard. Three of them were killed in the strike. When they saw the missile or the plane coming, they jumped overboard. They knew they were overboard. They did nothing to rescue them. They didn't come back and finish the job like they did on the first strike. Instead, they just left them in the sea. They eventually sent a rescue plane 45 hours later, 2 days later, in seas that could kill a person within an hour. And that, according to what a lot of people were saying, is a gross overestimation. They were saying more likely just minutes. Because in those particular conditions, the water was very cold and there were gale force winds, 9-foot seas. It'd be dangerous even if you were in a boat, never mind if you'd been blown out of the water. And so now there's a lot of finger pointing from people, but we know what this murderous regime is about and the illegal orders. It should concern you a great deal. And just like when you see pictures of Trump with little kids. The face is blacked out, but you can tell from their bodies that they're little kids, or Jeffrey Epstein. That should bother you a great deal because you know what really is behind that. This should have the same kind of concern, a different issue. But still, you got to understand what is really behind this and where this is headed. So it's kind of interesting. Coast Guard taking 45 hours to begin searching the area. You know, the story was just put out by Kristi Noem because these people want to get her out. About how at the beginning of her reign, that she called search planes off of a mission that was looking for a Coast Guard person who had gone overboard. This is one of their own. And she called back a Coast Guard plane because she wanted to use it to deport illegals. Think about that. Think about if you were the family of that person who was never found. Now, maybe they wouldn't have found him if they'd had the plane, or maybe they would have. Just think about that. Think about how cold that is. And you look at the temper tantrums of, you know, Kristi Noem and her boyfriend, Corey Lewandowski. Again, the rumors about what's up between the two of them were going around back and forth in the first Trump administration. And the Wall Street Journal story went into a great deal of discussion about that. But the two of them are just acting like prima donnas. They decided that they had to change planes because there were some problems with the plane, and she was very upset that they didn't bring over her blanket. And she got a Homeland Security blanket that she has to have. Corey Lewandowski decided that this pilot needed to be fired. And so he said, well, you know, okay. But they didn't have anybody to take his place, so they had to rehire him. I mean, what a bunch of incompetent clowns. It truly is amazing. And heartless as well. Now, that's the key thing. Heartless, lawless, incompetent clowns. That's the Trump regime. We'll be right back. We're going to connect with Tony Arduin, and we're going to talk about what's going on with war and the economy. Because, you know, gold is a safe haven. It's not going to protect us from nuclear war. But when we look at war in the Middle East and the economic consequences that may be coming from that, everybody agrees that it's going to be coming pretty soon for Israel. Do whatever they tell us. We'll
and
be right
for
back.
Those of you who are joining us on Substack for the first time, I want to let you know that we do try to take questions and comments from the listeners and viewers. So if you've got questions or comments, drop them in the chat and we'll get to them, especially if you have questions or comments about gold or silver, because that is Tony's area of expertise.
Great. Can you are you checking the comments on Substack as well?
Yes.
Well, good. Thank you. You're busier than a well-armed paper hanger. So we'll be right back.
Making sense common again.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back, and joining us now is Tony Arterman of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, and Tony has set up a website, davidknight.gold, and that'll take you directly to Tony and let him know that you're coming through us. Good to have you on, Tony. Things are pretty crazy still, aren't they? But have they leveled out a little bit? Looks like it's not quite as volatile as it's been last couple of weeks.
Well, it's a bit of a blessing where the price doesn't move, you know, $30 and $40 at a time on silver and hundreds of dollars at a time on gold. Yeah, it's been a little bit more stable. But I think the most interesting part being on the ground as a dealer is the disparity between payments anymore. I mean, it really gives me no pleasure to post my buying percentages because people are trying to sell right now and they're like, well, what's going on? Well, there's just so much bottleneck and the after effects of these prices that move so high and then so low. Mm-hmm. You're talking about weeks to get paid now from wholesalers. I don't think this can last. As a matter of fact, I had a really interesting meeting with one of the executives from Goldback came to see me in Texas and because mm-hmm. we order so many Goldbacks for Wolfpack. And, we talked about, you know, those are those 24 karat notes and they're just gaining more and more popularity.
Those are really cool. I like them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. They're great. And this is they showed me their merchant system that they're setting up so people can just actively trade, Goldbacks business to business, peer to peer. It's really interesting. And we're going to be doing more of that through Wolfpack, but he and I both agreed. Just been in this business a long time that, the larger banks and financial institutions are literally trying to put the smaller operators out of business. This makes no sense right now when you look at articles about Kitco and shortages of supply and things that refiners aren't refining. Mm-hmm. That makes no mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense they have these long drawn out payment timetables that you can't suffer that as an operator. So there's lots of downward pressure across the board on physical operators and nothing that I can't handle. I mean, we've been preparing for all sorts of contingencies for years, but I think the viewers and people that listen to this show and my show, I just want them to know like the realities. It's not, even with price stabilization, which is we're very fortunate for, it's still a broken system.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, it's the conspiracies against competitors or something is always there. We've been watching a multi-year series a little bit at a time with you know, Karen and Lance and I, and they just got to a part. Now, of course, throughout all this, there's been this evil banker who's been conspiring to put his competition and all of his enemies out of business in various ways. They just got into this episode. They had a situation where because of the war, they had a shortage of being able to get physical gold. So you had a banker that had been a good guy in the story, and he had to call them in and apologize and say, I have to give you a promissory note. I've got to give you paper. And the reaction of everybody from the business owners down to the people, the employees who are getting paid, nobody wanted that paper money that was there. But yeah, this is something that's been going around for quite some time. The conspiracies to have monopolies as well as the moving people to something that is a fiat piece of paper and saying, hey, trust me, you know, there'll be gold behind this at some point in time. But, you know, when you're talking about these goldbacks, there was an interesting article on Zero Hedge. When cash disappears, so does something else. And his argument wasn't so much about the constant tracking and tracing, which is he does mention it there, and we talk about that typically. But he's also talking about the cost and the drain on the economy as each time you have a transaction that happens, the bank gets its cut of that, you know, merchant cut when you have a credit card thing of, you know, 3% or 4% or something like that. And he says, think about that. Every time something changes hands, it's like a value-added tax. But the tax is going to the banks who run the credit cards.
And it's the way they like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had that situation when we were running the video stores, and it got to be so onerous, you know, people coming in and renting a movie that cost $2 or something, using plastic for it. And this was like 30 years ago. And I said, you know, let's just stop this. I have the ability because we could track it when people come in. The program I wrote would track the late fees that were there, and we'd come back and tell them about it when they would come back at a later date. So I said, so we'll just tell people for a while, let's get off of the credit card stuff and stop taking it. And we'll just tell them, come in next time and you can pay us in cash or whatever. Well, we quickly learned that people would abuse that system. And they would not pay us the next time or the next time after that. And then after they got to particularly high tab, they just would stop coming in at all. And so we were forced basically to go back and take plastic again. But I saw that fee that was there, and it's pretty significant. And as you're saying, all that money is going out of the economy. If they're passing cash, especially if it's something like a gold back, if they're passing that between customers and businesses or between business and business, all that money stays there in the economy and the local economy between the people and the small businesses. But when you get the credit card people in, it starts disappearing. It's like a tax.
Well, and I think, and we go back to metals price, who has the capital, who has the credit and the clout to be able to whipsaw prices the way that we saw?
Yeah.
I mean, normal people aren't moving that. This is governments and institutions that are moving these prices. And you're absolutely, there's a war on cash. There's been a war on cash for many years. And we saw that during COVID-1984. Remember, the cash was having to be quarantined. It was dirty, you know, and all the repatriated notes that were coming from around the world. So, we've just gotten rid of the penny.
That was Gerald Celente's thing. Dirty cash to digital trash.
Digital trash. Yeah. I don't want to turn it into the argument for the central bank digital currency and all, but that is the point, is to make it to where if you're outside of the system, it's harder and harder for you to transact business. They want you to be in the system because every time that you swipe your credit card, that's currency creation. Mm-hmm. That's the entire system is built off of debt. It's currency creation when you swipe your credit card. And of course the fees, most people don't know this. I mean, the entities that make the most off of your gasoline are credit card companies that have no infrastructure investment in that gasoline station. So you have to understand, you swipe your card, that's 3%. So if it's $3 a gallon, that's 9 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
It's going to whatever bank, and they have no, they make more than the operator. So that's something I saw as my father had built convenience stores when I grew up and owned them. And I understand the gasoline business. I've owned them. So this is something I've talked about for years that the average person doesn't understand. So there's all these costs built into everything, and they like the fact that, it's harder to be outside of the system, but there's all sorts of great things still happening. I met with Goldback. They've got some great programs coming out, and more people are using gold and silver products, and recognize gold and silver bullion, which I think is great. More states are adopting gold and silver.
And you've just had Florida just passed a law saying gold is legal tender there now. And so I imagine, when you look at the real issue with that is, how do they determine the genuineness of it? And that's a spot for these goldbacks to come in, I think.
Yeah, and of course, goldbacks, what they do is they're kind of like 90% U.S. silver coinage or constitutional silver coinage. They just break it down into small denominations. I mean, gold at $5,000 an ounce.
Right.
A 10th ounce piece is, worth, more than, at least at spot, it's $500. And of course, premiums over that. So 600. So it's a lot, and even gold grams, going down at, to $170 a piece or something like that. It's just a lot to walk around with, but, goldbacks break it down fractionally, which I think help.
That's right.
And
gives them something that they can have some confidence that it's not been, counterfeited, right? Cause they put a lot into making this thing.
They were telling me about the design process yesterday, which I didn't know. I mean, it's pretty intricate. The amount of artwork and how they put that together and, in the feel of the notes, there's something about, because it's actual 24 karat gold that's been stretched and then you can, it's just kind of like we have the feel of our dollar bill, a certain type of paper that it's made of. It's very unique. And so the same thing with goldback.
Yeah, that's interesting. I got a question here for you. Pedal Junkie says, Tony, we all know that SLV ETFs is rigged under allocated. Are they all like that? I have physical silver, but I also have PSLV, which is an ETF on the Toronto Stock Exchange. It's run by Eric Sprott and supposedly fully allocated. It's a trust. I guess that's the, yeah, it is a trust. It is a,
it's a trust.
You have to trust that it's there. And of course, you know, part of that again is trying to find a way that people can, quickly buy and sell fractional, ounces of gold and silver like that on a stock exchange. But you know, that's the convenience of it, but that also comes with risk, doesn't it?
It's counterparty risk, and not all of them, I believe, are depleted of their holdings or funds. I think the larger that you go up the channel, and you just have to look at their track record. Just look at J.P. Morgan Chase's track record with silver price manipulation. I mean, you start getting into a lot of question marks, and I think that that's why I lean towards physical, and I do own some mining stocks and other things. I mean, at a certain level, you have to trust that the investment's going to make a return or something like that. I'm less of an investor. I'm more of somebody trying to protect my wealth, especially with like physical metals. And then I use them for the inventory of my shops. Of course, but I think not all of them are the same, and they're not all, you know, dabbling and, you know, papering over holdings that don't exist, but I'm always cautious.
Well, it's kind of like the whole thing, the great taking, that attorney and I think he's attorney and somebody worked in finance. He talked about how they have very subtly changed in the UCC code and state after state the idea that you just basically have a entitlement to something, but you don't actually own real estate and so many other things like that. Everything just works fine as long as there's not some kind of an unusual economic event. But if things get really sketchy, then what happens is there is a priority of creditors who are going to get paid, and you're way down the list on this new scheme that they have set up under the radar without anybody paying attention for the great taking. And certainly that would be the case with some of these ETFs of gold and silver. You probably don't have any real title, just like you don't with gold and with the original GLD and SLV. You don't have any real title to any gold. What you have is an indirect ownership of it because you have an investment into this trust or whatever it is. And if there is some kind of an unusual crash or something that is very broad through the markets, as we saw in 2008, if something like that happens, you're going to be way down the list of creditors to get paid.
I agree with that. I think one of the best financial products out there right now, and maybe it's not as attractive with gains. Mm-hmm. Although some people that bought from me in 2022, I've just been amazed at some of their returns, some of the larger IRAs. But the gold and silver IRAs, the physical ones, because you're talking about third-party storage that you don't have to worry about. It's not going to get robbed. You know, there's not going to be a heist of it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's insured, but it's not part of the banking system. And I like that about the gold and silver IRAs. And you can choose what region you want to store those metals in. And, of course, you get the tax deduction. You get all that stuff. So there's a reason why they have those rules in place. But so there's a little bit of protection and break between the banking system that you can still operate within the realms of the IRA, but you're outside of the FDIC and other things, which I think are good, and you're outside of the stock market. Mm-hmm. And remember, you know, with all stocks and with any sort of ETFs, they can always just make more paper. And that's stocks can be inflated by the rules of their own system. So you can always create and devalue stock. They do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any of our current system, I just don't trust. And it comes down to that. At the end of the day, it comes down to trust, and I trust it less and less every day.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
That's right. And you know, when we look at unusual and big events that are going to wreck markets and things like that, I think we should think about what is coming up with Iran, especially because we all remember what, if you're old enough, you certainly do remember what happened in the late 1970s when we had the crunch of oil with OPEC. And we are not away from that yet at all. That's going to, if we shut down the oil that's coming around the Strait of Hormuz and all these other places like that. And you've got now Russia, China, America, Israel, Iran. Everybody is doing military drills there in the Strait of Hormuz. If this thing blows up, and there's a lot of indications that's going to happen, and we know that there's a lot of politicians here in America as well as Israel who want that to happen. If that all blows up, that's going to have massive consequences for the economy. But I got another question here for you, Tony. This is from Ryan for Love of the Road on Substack. He says, please ask Tony what he thinks about HeatBit, heatbit.com. He says it's a home heater that earns Bitcoin anywhere from $450 to $100 a season. He said, and that's dollars, not Bitcoin, of course. Have you heard of anything like that?
Well, you know, I was at the Bitcoin conference a couple of years ago with my son, and I saw they had a water heater that you would install, and your water heater would mine Bitcoin because you need to have a certain amount of electricity and it hooked up to the grid. I think all that kind of stuff is creative. It's good. Cause you're already using the energy anyway. Mm-hmm. Might as well, you know, link up your devices to it it needs to be a secure node that you're mining Bitcoin for. So I think that's always a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've not heard of that though.
Don't know what the payoff is on that. I don't know how much the heater costs, but, yeah, exactly. How many seasons do you have to go through, or does it, how many months do you have?
Yeah, they had a chart that showed like when it would pay for itself, and it wasn't too long, you know, it was a couple, 3 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still ways to mine Bitcoin. A lot of the mining farms are up, and I don't know how they're doing right now. I mean, it's, with the price being, down off the all time high the way it is, but, yeah, you can still mine Bitcoin and use those kind of things. So I think that I haven't heard of that website, but it sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's going to be another nightmare scenario as the price is dropping. And then, you know, as Bitcoin goes along and they mine more and more of it, more and more work has to be done in order to get another coin. So more and more work has to be done for less and less of a payoff. It's
right.
A real crunch there. Jason has a question. Jason Barker. Hey, Jason. I was looking at volume levels when gold and silver went crazy and then came back down. It was off the charts. Prices were definitely manipulated for a profit for the bigs, he says. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think there's a bit of a chaos in the system too. It's just, you know, that's my feelers and people that I'm going to talk to in the industry. It doesn't make any sense. You know, we have these, you know, real push rise for the prices to go break all these all time highs and then the massive pull down. And then it's just been, you know, all over the place. And the volatility, thank goodness, has not been as crazy as the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. It's caused a real, breakage in the financial system for gold and silver. I don't know that it will go back to the way that it was. A lot of the smaller operators, I think, are really getting pushed out. I mean, the reason I'm still able to survive is because we have Wolfpack.
Yeah.
And Wolfpack keeps us open. As a matter of fact, that'll be the reason we survive this. And it's, you know, we bought a, just to get an example. So one of my crew called me from Branson. We bought a, a proof set of American gold eagles. And I can't sell that really quick to the public. Not a lot of people just want to buy, you know, a whole set of gold eagles. So I sold it to the trading floor, and they wanted to remind me it'd be 5 weeks before I get paid.
Wow. Wow.
So you can't sustain that. Yeah. You know, that's not a sustainable model. So the reason that we'll be doing okay is I continue to buy stuff from the public and other sources, and we put them into Wolfpack, and even though the prices have been causing us to have to dig down deep into our creativity to figure out what we're going to put in the, you know, a $50 package, you know, used to, you could put an ounce of silver in there and a gold back and some fractional stuff, and not anymore, you know, not even close.
Yeah.
So it has to get a lot of different types of products. And I think you'll be seeing a lot more of the gold back stuff because, they're really creating an ecosystem too, along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they creating, what are they doing as the price of gold goes up? Are they shrinking the gold backs? What are they doing to handle that? You know, cause
I don't think the gold backs will get smaller.
I just think changing the denomination.
No, they won't change the denomination. What they do is they have a flow chart, and you can download the app. And so, like, if you're going to exchange them in real, it changes in real time. They can have like a ticker. Hmm. And so, like, whatever the denomination is, that's the amount of gold in there. Mm-hmm. So that'll never change. So just basically, you've got the denominations have a certain weight, and that weight is divided by spot. And so it won't be like they start clipping the edges and then you got to fold it over. Here's a piece of a gold, but I don't think.
But they're not designing some smaller ones, are they? Because that's one of the interesting things. When we went to Hong Kong, they had the paper money that was there was issued by private banks, which is the way it used to be done in America. And it was the strangest thing because, you know, they would be different sizes and different colors and stuff like that. And, you know, so I'm looking at two notes that have the same face value in terms of Hong Kong dollars, and they're radically different. And then I see, oh, this is a different bank that's here. And so, you know, it's America has been kind of unusual in the sense that a $1 bill is the same size and color as a $100 bill. You know, most other countries, you know, they'll go from yellow to red to this or that, and you can kind of tell the different denominations more easily. You got to really watch yourself if you're counting cash here in America, you know, looking at those faces that they put on.
We might need to break out the, I think Cal Coolidge is on the $1,000 bill. We might need to break some of those out here pretty quick. To go to the grocery store, David, I have to get the Federal Reserve bills that go, I think they go up to like $1 million.
And probably still the same size and color as the $1 bill.
I think they're the same size and color though. Yeah.
Whose idea was that? Somebody thought they're going to pull one up.
Well, you know, the notes used to be bigger. I buy some of the older notes sometimes from people, and the notes used to be bigger, and it's really comical when you actually read the notes from, you know, the early 20th century, late 19th, and most of them will say this note is redeemable for lawful money. So it's saying that it isn't lawful money, but it is redeemable for lawful money, which is always fun. And you're right about the, you know, Andrew Jackson killed the Second Bank of the United States. He's, you know, he called the International Rothschild Banking Cartel, said that you're a den of vipers and thieves. I'm going to rout you out. And he wanted I Killed the Bank on his tombstone, as a matter of fact. He was so adamant about getting rid of the central bank. A lot of people believe that his, you know, the attempted assassination on him was a indirect correlation of that.
Yeah.
But there was no central bank between 1836 and 1913, which was the lifespan of J.P. Morgan, if you believe it. It's really interesting. If you put those two things in place, so the lifespan of J.P. Morgan, there was no central bank in the United States of America. When you had those private banks would issue notes based off of, now that's still fractional reserve banking technically, but it was all redeemable in gold. And, you know, we just forget that there's no inflation in the 19th century. That wasn't part of our culture or understanding. And now we're in a world where inflation is so rampant, you know, like we just think of, people put up, the charts from the 90s or early 2000s of what things cost, and it blows people's minds that, you know, the rise in prices. So I think that's really just getting started. You know, the war on cash is part of that because then you start to remember, you know, like the reason they get rid of the penny. And I think the nickel is next, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just reminds you of how little anything, you know, you can buy with a penny. You used to be able to put pennies in vending machines when I was a kid, and you get a little gumball or something, you know.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, Trump is fine with all that. He wants to move us to the digital currency that is out there. Sheila A has a comment, said, didn't they loosen regulations for pensions and 401ks where they can now buy crypto?
I think Vanguard loosened them recently where you could get into the BlackRock, Bitcoin ETF and things like that.
Maybe that's why they
I'm
set
not
up
so
the,
familiar with.
Maybe that's why they set up the crypto ETF. I mean, we'd look at this and say, what do you need to have an ETF of a cryptocurrency for? Maybe that was why they were doing it. I don't know. She looks at it. Her comment is, it looks like a rug pull. Yeah. And I think that is definitely the case. I think it's a pump and dump to do that type of thing. And of course, Bitcoin was going to be the new gold. They called it gold 2.0, but that really hasn't happened. People are still trusting the thing that they put, that they've trusted as a store of value for millennia, and that is gold and silver.
That's true, and that will continue to be the case for many, many, many years. I think I am one of the people that uses Bitcoin and deals in Bitcoin. I think that the calls for demonetizing gold and silver were very premature. That's never going to happen, by the way. Bitcoin's mm-hmm. never going to fully demonetize anything like gold or silver, but it complements them. And I think that, I mean, it's just such an early, it's still way early in the development of Bitcoin. I think a lot of the reasons for the ETFs was to control it. I think that, and also to look at the future. I think they realize that a lot of the stock market, as you know, David, and the markets themselves are not built on anything. These aren't built off profits. These aren't built off of any sort of equity in the real world. Mm-hmm. A lot of them is mm-hmm. built off of proximity.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
To the relationships they have with the central bank, not actual earnings. And that's something that's new. And somebody running this, the financial simulations and projections has to understand that. And Bitcoin would be a way to hedge that. But that's probably a whole other conversation. Because I don't know what's going on at this point. I think there's a lot of psyops around money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of hidden price. Always. And we don't actually, you know, I don't have the full picture of what is actually going on. I can only guess. And then I use my instinct or, you know, my gut level analysis of what's going on. I just think there's a serious amount of manipulation in all these markets.
There's a comment here from Jason Barker, and he says, FYI, if you roll over your 401 with Tony, you don't have to go strictly metal. You can also diversify with other things. It's pretty much self-managed how you do it. That's a good point.
Yeah. So you go through New Direction Trust, and they have other options in there too. The metals part, whether it's gold, silver, or platinum, and like I said, we've had some people in the, you know, 2 or 3 years ago that rolled over some pretty large amounts that were listeners of yours. And I think about some of those deals sometimes when I see the price of gold or the price of silver, and I think, wow, that was a very smart move. And the fact that you've got no counterparty risk other than the storage facility that's not part of the financial system. So, that's a lessening of risk.
Yeah.
Which I think is, that's why the central banks are moving the price of gold right now. I think that's the quiet part out loud that the financial networks don't really push and they don't say, but that's, it's not necessarily the people that are full of fear. It's government. And they're, and the people are fearful, but there's nothing that doesn't compare to the fear of governments and what they have of other, of financial institutions like the United States,
That's right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when you look at geopolitical and economic uncertainties, it's the governments that are the most afraid of those things, which is, we live in interesting times and there's a lot of stuff that's on the horizon. What do you think is going to happen if we have a large war that shuts down the supply of oil from the Middle East? How is that going to affect things like the price of gold? Big question.
Well, I think ultimately, if we do have a full-on war with, if we go in this, I'm looking at the headlines right now of antiwar.com, and it says White House claims there are, quote, many reasons to strike Iran. many reasons, David. We've talked about this for years. This has always been on my, the horizon of the dread that I would look at, worst case scenarios, being an Iraq war veteran and knowing that they had this in mind all along.
Oh yeah.
Has always been the play. If you looked at the movie W that's done by Oliver Stone and the character, of Dick Cheney, they put it all up on the map, and then that was the centerpiece. It was the raison d'etre was Iran. It was to hit Iran. And they said, we never leave, so this is about energy. It's about empire. It's about who controls the flow of things. It's one of the reasons why we went in, to Venezuela, just did that reverse icing of Maduro, brought him to the United States. So, that was about energy. Whereas if you look at the Wolfowitz Memorandum of 1992, about not allowing any sort of rival power and using every means necessary, even striking Russia, other things, just crazy stuff from these psychotic neocon people. And of course you got the, rampant Zionists and, it converges there in Washington DC where both parties agree. That we should sacrifice our sons and daughters and blood and treasure and everything else to promote chaos in the Middle East. And it is really sad. I don't know that there's any stopping this train. It seems like we just never really, get away from the consequences of going into an unconstitutional, unnecessary, which I believe satanic war in the Middle East would for no reason. Cause, Iran cannot threaten or destroy the United States of America. They're not a clear and present danger. Our rulers are.
Yeah. We're the ones who are
initiating. Inside the walls are.
Yeah, we're the ones who are invading countries and we're killing people on the high seas. We don't know what they're doing even. As I said before, how can you support blowing these ships up because you think they've got drugs on it? I mean, if you stop them and validate the fact that they've got drugs, what do people think then if you line them up on the side of the boat and shot them into the water like a Nazis rounding up escaped prisoners in The Great Escape or something. I mean,
what's the difference?
It's even worse than that because they haven't even verified that they've got the contraband that they're so upset about. And if you catch somebody shipping some of that stuff, it's not a death penalty, not in our system of law. How do you justify any of this stuff that's happening? And as you point out, many, many reasons, and I can name those reasons. We got Lindsey Graham, we got Netanyahu, who's been pushing war with Iran for decades, talking about nuclear stuff. And, of course, you got the Zionists like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro pushing this as well. And Trump, their puppet, who will do whatever they wish. So yeah, it looks like that's definitely in the cards, and the disruption that's going to happen. We go back and look at the different wars, Tony, as you're pointing out, always the calculations about oil. Look at Syria, for example. A big part of the Syrian war, we've talked about many times, I've talked about it with Cheryl Salenti, are the pipelines. Who's going to run the pipeline across Syria? Is it going to be something that benefits America and its friends, or is it going to be something that's going to benefit Russia? And when you look at the pipelines going into Germany, you know, the ones that they blew up, that was also about making, the Nord Stream stuff was about making sure that they weren't going to get Russia's gas, that they were going to buy liquid natural gas from us at a higher price.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's always that kind of a calculation that's there. And we don't really care who
under
gets killed.
The levels of lies and propaganda to force feed people who clearly don't have the ability to discern truth from lies. And I think they get really good at it. And, you know, you mentioned Syria, which is I have his friends with a real like wildcatter who went all over the world and, put oil wells together on behalf of companies and investors and had done that his whole life. And we were talking about Syria in 2012, right before I did my first radio show. And he said, well, you know who owns those pipelines? All the pipelines running through Syria and all the contracts. He goes, if you dig down and you go through the holding companies, the subsidiaries, it's the CIA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and that. Mm-hmm. And they always have, you know, that's going
back
to.
And we've seen people that leave the CIA that get set up in the oil business. George H.W. Bush.
Arbusto.
That's right. But we also had the guy he was the lieutenant governor. He was the one in 2011 shut down, the move to stop these naked body scanners and the pat downs of kids and stuff like that. I can't remember the guy's name. He spent
Was it Dewhurst? What was it?
I think that was it. I think it was Dewhurst.
I think it was, he was the CIA. He lost running to Ted Cruz, which, you know.
distinction without a difference, right?
he lost to Ted. That's been to Ted Cruz. Yeah, but he spent a ton of money. I met him when I was running for Congress in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so another guy that leaves the CIA and all of a sudden now is an expert in the oil business.
Another expert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. It does all. As a matter of fact, when we peel back all the layers of evil like an onion, we always find the CIA down at the center of it. Don't we?
Somewhere
whatever you're talking about. Whether you're talking about the Epstein stuff or whether you're talking about oil and wars and all that, it's always the CIA down there at the center of it.
Our policy in the Middle East, you know, post Franklin Roosevelt, you know, end World War II, it really is fruit of a poisonous tree, you know, when you understand what the House of Saud was all about and, mm-hmm. you know, the way that they govern and ruled and everything, you know, the Iraq and how it was built and our involvement there and the Operation Ajax in the early 50s, all of that. We've just created this monster over there. And, it's really sad that, we're going to be pushed into something. I hope it isn't as big as I think it's going to be, mm-hmm. but you to get to the consequences of it, David, you know, you're talking about oil prices, which will cascade into more inflation, harder economic times for the American people and the world.
Well, I think it'll be a kind of a stagflation on steroids, like we saw with OPEC initially, right? So we have a recession at the same time we got inflation. And of course we know what happened in the '70s under those types of situations. Because of inflation, gold really was squeezed, like, you know, fire hose or something. So.
Yeah, that was when gold was, you got to think about that too. Gold at $800 an ounce in the end of 79, going into 80 along with silver at $52. I mean, just in those dollars denominated in 1980 dollars, that's just insane to think about today. Silver's never, you know, ever matched that $52 in 1980 metric when it comes.
Yeah, absolutely right. We got another comment here from, Hatchcar 61, question for you, Tony. Are there silverbacks? You talked about the goldbacks. Are there silver? They do have silver in them.
They right? do, and they're like collectible novelties at this point. I haven't found anyone yet that that just truly carries the silverback for the silver. It's I don't know if it's harder to make or they just don't. It's not as profitable or something like that. But you will see them in the future. From what I understood talking to Goldback, they're more like collectibles than they are something that's tradable.
Yeah.
The Goldbacks allow you to, you know, have, you know, $5 to $10 or $15 worth of purchasing power on the smaller notes. And that seems to be the most economical to make and to use.
In terms of where things are going, of course, you know, when I talked to Gerald Sinti, he says, I don't make predictions. I look at trends. He does occasionally talk about where he expects to see prices go. And he pretty much nailed it on the 5,000 by the end of the year. He said he's only off by a couple of weeks. But you got some predictions, and, of course, they're all over the place. UBS is just up their prediction to $6,200. But it doesn't look like when they're talking, when the analyst is looking at it, doesn't look like they're pricing in anything like a Iran war or anything like that. You know, what do you see out there? I know you don't do predictions either, but that's the bottom line is when we look at the trends and we look at the underlying things, the weaponization of the financial system that began in 2022, that's what kicked all this stuff off. None of that is changing. As a matter of fact, all the things that started this trend are actually getting worse or more intense, right?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
the social casino.
Well, that's right. And I don't make predictions mainly because I find some of the financial people that are in gold and silver can be a bit irresponsible because it looks like you're pushing people to buy it because they're going to get a return.
Yeah.
But I usually just will preface it by saying, would it surprise me? Would it surprise me if gold was at, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 an ounce in 2 years? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's right.
So not at all. I mean, I'm not really ever that surprised. I think that the metrics and all the fundamentals are there that are driving that. I'm, you know, at this point, knowing what we know, you know, the market is a house of cards. The entire thing, you know, whether it's AI or tech, mm-hmm. any of those, that they're just built on so much leverage that it's inflated. And at some point, there's going to be more of a, at least for many years, I think there will be this period where a lot of the older values in the older economies will come back, like gold and silver. That'll mm-hmm, be a thing. Mm-hmm. Oil will be another thing, you know, and I've been buying a little bit of just a tiny bit of oil stocks. I have a friend that is an executive with a oil drilling company, and I've known him for my whole life. And so I buy a little bit of his company. I'm talking about a tiny amount just because I realize that it's going to be more profitable for these companies to pull oil out of the ground. And despite mm-hmm. what the environmentalists and quote unquote, think about, we're not going to stop using petroleum. It makes everything.
That's
you know,
right.
We have to. It keeps the lights on. I know they'd like to stop that, but you know, if there's civilization, there's oil. And at this point,
and so. You got to have it for plastic. You know, you go back to the movie, yes. The Graduate, right? Got one word for you, plastic. You know that
plastic,
in and of itself,
yeah.
Right there, that would keep us going on the oil thing. So, again, everything is lining up for the war in Iran, and the only question for most people is exactly when is the trigger going to be pulled? Because they have stockpiled all the assets there, and they're sending more all the time, and you know, just waiting for the right moment, I guess, when somebody comes up with the most incriminating document about Trump and Epstein. I guess that's the trigger pull right there.
Well, I think that it's you always see this. Whatever happens with Epstein, mm-hmm. you know, this happened in 2019. He doesn't kill himself, right? And then there's this dead mm-hmm. man switch. It's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
I mean, then you have COVID-1984. There's just something about it, like the data coming out from that, and then we do it again.
Yeah.
So it's like this guy proceeds from beyond Tel Aviv or wherever he is now.
The harbinger,
he's a harbinger. I don't know what it is. You see his face, you start seeing more, you know, associations and evidence of whatever. So it is very concerning. And I hope that I'm wrong on a lot of my predictions for war, but it is absolutely disgusting that we seem to be on this, sleepwalking into it, you know, as American people, and our politics are just, I mean, I don't recognize this country or its political system anymore. I don't take part in it. I don't know what it means.
Well, it's bad enough when you're looking at these discussions about the, the pretend rescue mission of these guys. You blow up their boats in 9-foot seas and gale winds and all this other stuff, and you leave them there for 2 days, and you send some rescue mission down there. And they said, oh, this is just going through the motions and virtue signaling about it. You got somebody that's in the water. You know they're dying right then. You got an obligation to get them out. And yet we had Kristi Noem, who didn't have that obligation, about a Coast Guard personnel who had gone overboard and pulled the plane off of that search thing. So the level of just disengagement from any morality, any legality, you know, they like to talk all the time about lethality, but they never care to talk about legality. You talk about that, they come after you. Truly is amazing. And so these people are about to drag us into a world war, which we've seen coming for quite some time, haven't we? You know, it's going to be a global economic issues that are there. Going to be global wars, going to be revolutions, going to be civil wars. All these things will be happening all at once with this fourth turning right here at the end. So again,
it's the fourth turning.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a little bit of things
old institutions are coming apart.
That's right. That's right. And gold does not require an institution. So, you know, it's a little bit of a lifeline that you can hang on to in these high seas that we're coming to, isn't it? So,
Well, I think that's part of the part of the leading up to this timeline that we're on. I think we're very fortunate is because there's been a lot of infrastructure built into being outside of the system. Great programs and things that you can get into and own physical gold, silver, or you can, I mean, again, you can be in Bitcoin. You can be the other things that are outside of the banking system, goldbacks.
That's right. And we're not the only ones who see this. We're not the only ones who see this coming. Like you're talking about the people doing goldbacks. So you've got some state representatives that have been making moves trying to get some things done. And so there is an awareness that is there. It's not very large. You're not going to see it in the mainstream media, but there's an awareness there. And there's going to be a parallel economy that's going to be there as well, I think. So let us know, you know, what's going on with Wise Wolf. Other than
keeping the doors open. we're alive, we're kicking, and we're getting creative. And I'm working on ways for us to be here in 2 and 5 years. So
that's great.
Wolfpack's strong. We've got more members than ever. We could use some more. That's one of the reasons we're open. Is the Wolfpack, and we spend a lot of man hours every week building those invoices, and we really appreciate anybody who's a part of it. And you can do one time deals; you don't have to do a membership, but that does help us, and we are able to take the products that we're buying and still offer the public a place to sell their gold or silver. Really proud that we still have that.
It really is a win-win situation. It's a win for you because of this crazy liquidity issue that has happened, with the entire system that's there. But it's a win-win for the consumer is that they do dollar cost averaging and, that they can set up a savings program to start putting some money into something that retains its value. That's a big issue there, I think. And that has always been great from the consumer side, and now we see that it's something that is keeping the cash flow going as these manipulations of the gold and silver market causing this kind of volatility has made it difficult cash flow for a lot of gold and silver dealers. That's a great thing. The Wolfpack, great idea that you had. So thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Thank you for what you do, and it's great to have somebody that we can trust that is involved in the gold and silver that we can trust as well. So a couple of layers of trust that are there that I really do trust. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, go to davidknight.gold, and I'll take you to Tony and let him know that you came through us. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, welcome back, and I want to talk about what is happening with the next pandemic that is coming up. We already got the, you talk about people setting aside money for a rainy day. Well, the Trump administration is setting aside money for when they plan on cloud seeding and raining on us with the next pandemic. But I want to begin with this email that I got from Handy, titled "Kiss My Grits." That got my attention. He said he's been trying to get eyes on the COVID vaccination status pop-up that hospitals can see when they do the initial triage process in the ER for a long time. He said, last night I finally had the perfect patient, somebody who was a candidate for a tetanus shot, but also someone who was new to this state and couldn't remember his last tetanus shot. And so he brings him in as an ER tech. And they looked to see what his vaccine history is. He said, my patient had fallen over his walker and sustained a pretty severe laceration on his leg. Yesterday was his second day in Georgia. He didn't remember when he'd received his last tetanus shot. The nurse said she would just check grits for his vaccine records. I chuckled a little and I said, what is grits? The nurse told me that it's how they can see our vaccine status in the system. Then he opened up the Epic program on his computer and showed me a tab that was labeled Grits. And when he clicked it, the main window of that program opened to a page that had all vaccines the patient had ever received. So they got a database on us for all kinds of things, including all the vaccines that you've ever received. When he got them, where he got them, who gave the shot, etc. And he said, the nurse only gave me a glimpse of the program, unfortunately. Those kinds of things really aren't something that they share. Just a momentary lapse on their part, he said. And he said, I particularly hate their logo. The Grits logo, he said, is a heart with a syringe stuck in it. It's a little bit of a confession as to what they're doing, isn't it? And it's kind of interesting that now we have this article from the Daily Mail. A group of Yale scientists have linked COVID vaccines to an alarming new syndrome, they call. This is PVS, and not TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. This is PVS, Post-Vaccine Syndrome. And they claim that this is something that they've just now noticed. Folks, this is all the stuff we've been talking about for the past 5 years. The continual production of the spike protein, the harm and confusion done to the immune system, cardiovascular issues, many things that were and still are in this article labeled as long COVID. No, it's long bioweapon is what it is. And it's kind of interesting. This is coming from Yale. Yale was running the, as I've said many times, the only thing that was tested about Operation Warp Speed was the psychological manipulation. How can we trick people into getting this shot? And remember, there was a double-blind psychological study that Yale did, and they went through and they came up with all these different arguments that they would use. And so they would try the arguments on people and see if that changed their mind versus the control group that they didn't give the arguments to. And so they had all these different things like, well, you know, this is a miracle of modern science. This is loving your neighbor for the pastors to sell to people, you know. This is a moonshot. It's a miracle of science. You need to do it for the community. You need to do it as a Christian to love your neighbor, and on and on. Think about how you would feel if you didn't get a shot and somebody else got sick, as if that's going to somehow stop it. But they war gamed all these different things. And then, as sickening as that was, and remember that was in July of 2020, as sickening and as cynical as that was, what was even worse was to see people using that later on, like people like Robert Jeffries of this big Baptist church that's in Dallas. I forget the exact name of it. Or people like Al Mohr repeating verbatim what these Yale psychologists had come up with in terms of talking points to gaslight people into injecting an experimental genetic code injection. It was disgusting. So here's Yale. And they're saying, well, this condition, we're seeing distinct biological changes, differences in immune cells, and the presence of coronavirus proteins, the spikes, in the blood years after taking the shot. You know that I've talked about this for a very long time, and they're looking at this and saying, well, you know, they keep talking about all the adverse effects, and then they'll pull it back in the Daily Mail to talk about how they have saved tens of millions of lives with all this stuff. So thousands of people have said that the COVID vaccines injured them since the shots were rolled out in 2021. That's the Daily Mail saying that. It's more like millions of people. You know, they downplay all of this stuff, even their own internal databases where this stuff is reported. The mRNA vaccines made by Moderna and Pfizer are estimated to have saved tens of millions of lives globally from COVID, including 3 million in the U.S. An absolute lie. So they'll lie to you about the number of people that have been injured by it, and then they just make this other stuff up out of whole cloth, just like the Trump administration always does. They said the team collected blood samples from 42 people with post-vaccination syndrome, PVS, the new disease. We've had a lot of different manifestations of PVS over the years, haven't we? 22 people without it between December 2022 and November 2023. So it's a fairly small group, right? 42 and 22 in the two cohorts that are there. Those with PVS had different proportions of some immune cells. And this is something we saw in the spring of 2020 because they'd already started rolling it out to people who were working in hospitals and healthcare industry. They were being blackmailed by the Biden administration to get their people vaccinated. And Dr. Ryan Cole, who's a pathologist, said, I'm seeing a tremendously low count of killer T cells in people who have been vaccinated. He said, this is going to result in turbo cancers. He said that in the spring of 2020. We reported that. This has been known for a very long time. The levels in PVS patients were even greater than the spike proteins, were even greater than those found in patients who have long COVID, they said. The condition with similar symptoms linked to the virus itself. Well, again, they have been using their imagined long COVID to hide the effects of this genetic code injection for a long time.
Also, I've got to say, it's wild that in this article they're talking about Epstein-Barr syndrome.
Yeah. Epstein behind bars syndrome, yeah. that is one of the ones that they're talking about there, like kind of like Guillain-Barré. Persistent spike proteins in the body are thought to cause some of long COVID's symptoms by keeping the body in a constant state of inflammation. Again, we have known that, and they are surprised to say that they have seen people with high levels of the spike protein 36 days after vaccination, and some people as much as 709 days after vaccination, about 2 years, right? Well, we've had situations that I've reported on, a nurse who had about 1,500 days, about 5 years. In other words, it has never stopped in her particular case. So that was surprising to find spike protein in circulation at such a late point in time, said one of the doctors at Yale. We don't know if the level of spike protein is causing the chronic symptoms, but there were other participants with PVS who didn't have any measurable spike protein. I said this from the very beginning because Trump had arranged his little PR thing, and he goes around the table. Oh, that takes too long. What about you? What about you? They get around to Moderna. Well, we can do it right now because we'll use your body to manufacture it. So my first question was, then what turns that off? Turns out for a lot of people, there is no off switch on that. So our responsibility as scientists and clinicians is to listen to their experiences, rigorously investigate the underlying causes, and seek ways to help. No, actually, your responsibility as a scientist and a doctor is to first do no harm. That's your first obligation. That means that you test it first. You don't brag about how you skipped the testing, which is what Trump has done from day one with all this stuff. The mRNA vaccines made by Moderna and Pfizer, says the Daily Mail, are estimated to have saved tens of millions of lives globally. They just keep repeating this fictional narrative. You can look at the information. You can see that there were some excess deaths that began in 2020. Now, were those attributable to a virus, or was it because the hospital methods that they were doing were actually killing people? I say it's the latter. And so you have a slight uptick that's there. They're killing people with ventilators. They're killing people with remdesivir. Then they start vaccinating people with the Trump genetic code injection, and it goes through the roof. And you even got a situation here where one of these doctors said, well, you know, we would expect to see, because not everybody got injected at the same time, we'd expect to see this gradually rise up. And it's like, that is exactly what you see. If you look at the epidemiological studies that we've had country after country after country, you're just not looking. But isn't it interesting that they're finally coming back here to admit what we've known for quite some time, because they can ignore only so much. You know, there's so many people who have been harmed by this, severely harmed by this, that they can't keep it completely quiet. So they've got to come up with other things. And now they're getting to the point where they're even admitting that there's something that was caused by the vaccines, PVS. But in this article, the Daily Mail gets a quote from Paul Offit, the guy who is always going to make an excuse for every vaccine that is out there. And he said, oh, these are all perfectly safe. The guy is an unbelievable, unethical liar. But let's talk about the next pandemic.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is actually an article that was coming from Wine Press, and it was referenced by some research that was discovered by John Fleetwood. And so you can find those two on Substack. Trump has signed a bill allocating $5.5 billion for the next pandemic, and it creates a backdoor pathway for the continued collaboration with the WHO. They make, as I said at the beginning of the program, they make a big deal out of the fact we're getting out of the World Health Organization. Everybody cheers and says, that's great. Except they still continue to fund it. They're putting money into programs that are going to work with the UN, work with the WHO. They put money into state programs to fund this because, again, that is how they're going to run this operation the next time as well. Same thing they had planned and practiced for 20 years, running it not directly out of Washington. Washington gave the money, but the actual where the rubber met the road and where the actual programs were implemented was at the state level. And that's why they put out the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, model legislation. After they had done the first one of these games and after 9/11, they put that out. And so the U.S. is still intending to work with the World Health Organization. And this is a common theme that we see from Trump all the time. Oh, yeah, we're stopping the funding of Planned Parenthood. No, you're not. You just restored it quietly. And same thing with this. And you don't have to be part of the World Health Organization to do what they want, to follow their agenda. That's the whole point. If you're going to give them money, and if you're going to execute their agenda, you don't have to be an official member of it. That doesn't buy us anything. This is going to pay for the transportation, the medical care, the treatment of persons who are quarantined or isolated under federal or state quarantine law. So they're setting up the FEMA camps that Alex Jones always talked about, and these other people, being done now. He's quiet. He's cheering Trump. Amazing. You know, don't worry, they got sugar water in the FEMA camps. It'll be great for you. You can do it for Trump, right? So on February the 3rd, Trump signed the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2026 into law, buried in this funding bill, because this is Mike Johnson, other people who have defended the pedophile elite, the GOP leadership, the Democrat leadership, buried in the funding bill allocates billions of dollars more for pandemic preparedness. It was passed in the House 217 to 214, 71 to 29 in the Senate. And you thought Congress wasn't doing anything? You thought they're just sitting around on their hands? No. While people sleep, they're devising new ways to kill us, to quote the group Chicago. As first reported by John Fleetwood, the bill has over $3.2 billion dedicated to the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response, ASPR, A-S-P-R. And this is not normally aspirated either. For carrying out the Title III and subtitles A, B of Title 28 of the Public Health System Act, with respect to the research, development, storage, production, and procurement of medical countermeasures to counter potential chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear threats to civilian populations, we're going to award $3.2 billion. And then they add another half a billion to fund federal emergency response operations, nearly a billion, $900 million. For outbreak readiness for the CDC, and then another $750 million, $729 million, to go to preparation for so-called emerging pathogens, things like zoonotic infectious diseases, you know, like the imaginary bird flu that's there. It also pays for transportation, medical care, treatment, and other related costs of persons quarantined or isolated under federal or state quarantine law. Furthermore, another $200 million is allocated towards emergency funding for outbreaks. Isn't it amazing? You know, this is like this slush fund for Somali refugees that's there. You know, for years they had it, didn't have it much at all, and then when the Somalis started coming, they bumped it up to like $2 billion, and then it gradually increased. The last 3 years, it's been around $6 billion. The Trump administration, as they've got everybody upset about the Somali fraud that is there, and they're not doing anything about that Somali fraud. But they get everybody all hyped up about that. And then what do? They put another $5 billion into the same refugee program. They increase it from 6 to 11, an 80% increase, $11 billion.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, There's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's such a head fake. It's such deception that you see in the Trump regime. It truly is amazing. Part of this is going to be working money for the Agency for International Development and UNICEF. And so you thought the CIA slush fund, USAID, you thought that was gone? No. No, they're going to be putting money into that for the next pandemic and working with the CIA, working with the UN, UNICEF, and the rest of this stuff. And one of the things that they launder this through is through this euphemism that they have created with these globalist organizations, so-called child survival activities. This is a broad WHO umbrella that routinely includes vaccination campaigns, disease surveillance, actually they're surveilling you, outbreak response, health system operations, meaning that the statute authorizes U.S. personnel to work inside of WHO-funded public health infrastructure, not some narrow child-only care, despite the formal withdrawal. The authority is not contingent on U.S. membership in the WHO, nor does it require rejoining the WHO. Instead, it functions as a personnel-based operational bridge, allowing U.S. federal health staff to continue working inside WHO-financed initiatives without restoring formal governance participation. You know, another one is very similar in a sense to another one of these head fakes from the Trump administration. They got everybody concerned. Oh, we did, not the Trump administration. Got everybody concerned about central bank digital currency. So they come up with this Epstein criminal, Larry Lutnick. His origins go back to 9/11, actually. And so you get this guy comes up with a stablecoin. The, what I call the CCDC, the crony capitalist digital currency. It'll have all the same tracking capabilities, all the same blocking and shutting down of your money, just like the CBDC does. Except instead of it being a government central bank, there'll be a place for all of these mafia figures to dip their beak, if you know what I mean, right? They can all participate in the profits. That's the difference that the Trump administration, Trump regime brings to all of this stuff. So despite formal withdrawal from the WHO, Congress and Trump have enacted federal law that authorizes continuing U.S. personnel involvement in WHO-funded health programs while simultaneously financing flu pandemic infrastructure, gain-of-function research, and mass vaccine readiness, as well as mass incarceration in these FEMA camps. Again, a great Substack article from Wine Press, as well as the other person who originally found this was, John Fleetwood, who was the original researcher, who found this needle buried in the haystack of trillions of dollars of stuff that's there. Good find. And as Wine Press points out, it's just another con job by the Don. Once again, Trump and Maha needed an optical illusion. His cult can say, see, I told you, they're fighting the globalists. We got out of the World Health Organization. And the same thing has just happened with the approvals for vaccines and mRNA stuff. 2 days ago, I told you, they said, oh, look at this. You know, Moderna was getting the mainstream media to complain about the fact that RFK Jr. and people at the top, they have refused to give approval for Moderna. Moderna had this deal set up with the FDA where they were going to do their own testing, and the FDA said, yeah, sure, that's fine. Who cares, right? Same type of thing we saw with Children's Health Defense and the run-up to the release of the Trump shot. You know, they're going to encapsulate it in this stuff that was people, a lot of people had, would get anaphylactic shock from it. And so the scientists at Children's Health Defense called up the CDC and said, you realize that if you have put this stuff in polyethylene glycol, they call it pegylating it. If you pegylate this, there's going to be a lot of people who are allergic to that. And if you inject that into them, they're going to go into anaphylactic shock, which, by the way, did happen. Had a lot of cases of that. The CDC's response was, we don't care. Talk to Pfizer about it. And, of course, Pfizer doesn't care. If there's no controls on them from the government, they're going to do whatever they can to maximize their profits. So, again, we're fighting the fighting Moderna. They've now gotten their agreement with the CDC back. As a matter of fact, they're going to accelerate it for them. Yeah, that's what RFK Jr. and Maha is doing in reality. So Trump was funding the new mRNA vaccines and fast-tracking approvals for bird flu, and we could see that from the very beginning as well. It's mentioned by Wine Press, but, of course, I would also mention, don't forget Stargate, day number one. We're going to have mRNA technology designed and made specially for you through artificial intelligence, admitting that it is a genetic code injection. Call these things GCIs from the very beginning. And the deception doesn't just, it's not just Trump. It's very wide. For example, take a look at what the Republicans in Florida did. Ron DeSantis, when they passed this law that said, we're not going to allow vaccines to be mandated, what they did was they buried in that law a way for them to forcibly detain you and forcibly vaccinate you by any means necessary. I mean, we talked about this when it happened, but Wine Press brings that back up again, and we should be reminded of that. If you look at, there's a lot of fanfare about, oh, we're banning vaccine passports. We're not going to allow schools or employers or whatever to require your vaccination status. However, buried in the bill is this, quote, individuals who are unwilling to be tested, vaccinated, or treated for reasons of health, religion, or conscience may be subject to isolation or quarantine. So we're not going to require, we're not going to allow institutions or employers to require your vaccine, but we will put a statement in there saying that if you want to opt out because of religious beliefs or conscience or even health issues, we reserve the right to grab you and put you into quarantine, put you into a FEMA camp. This is the way these guys roll. It's unbelievable how cynical this stuff all is. And cynical it is. Truly is amazing. Before I leave this, I want to go back to what the FDA is now going to do with its Moderna flu vaccine. Again, it was just a couple of days ago. We're not going to let them do an mRNA flu vaccine. And all the MAHA people cheer, right? All the Trump cult people cheer. It's just another head fake from the Trump administration. They've already caved just 2 days later. So it's a kind of a pump and dump PR release. First you tell the base you're doing the right thing, then you flip. And not only do you then do the wrong thing, but you accelerate the wrong thing. Moderna said on Wednesday that the FDA has agreed to review its flu vaccine, the mRNA, after it initially refused to do so, citing flaws in the design of the trial. The FDA has now accepted Moderna's revised approach and seeking full approval for the shots. They have accelerated approval for those aged 65 and over, right? Yeah, we don't need to, test it for people that are 65 or over. We want to kill them off as soon as we can anyway, you know, for the Social Security solvency and that type of thing. It's head fakes, lies, betrayal. That's everything that we see from the Trump administration. And one area after the other, whether you're talking about AI data centers, or you're talking about tariffs, or whether you're talking about pandemics, vaccines, it's one head fake, or even abortion, it's one head fake and betrayal after the other. It's not just the Epstein files. The company will also conduct an additional post-marketing study in older adults. So here's their model. First, you sell it to them and inject it into them. Then you test it afterwards. Yeah, we're not going to do that beforehand. Well, you know, we look at what happened with the Somali fraud, for example, as they're ramping this up. I point out many times, you know, they ignored what was happening with the Somali criminal organizations that were running that community there. They ignored that for a very long time. And ignored it. It was happening under the first Trump administration. They not only ignored that, but then this is testimony from Kristen Robbins, who is investigating the fraud in Minnesota. And she testified at the House Fraud Prevention and Oversight Committee. And she's at the Senate. I'm sorry, the Senate. The Minnesota committee is called the House Fraud Prevention and Oversight Committee. So she is chair of that, and she went to testify at the Senate about what's going on in the Somalian fraud that is operating there. But this has been known for a very long time, and she recaps that, how long this has been going on. And what she says is that when COVID hit and they started handing out cash to everybody, she said that was like pouring gasoline.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
On the dumpster fire that was there. They already knew about this fraud. The Trump administration knew about that fraud, didn't do anything about it. The Trump administration in the second term, of course, knew about this and didn't do anything about it either. They're making all of these overtures about how they're getting the worst of the worst out of the country, yet they're leaving this Somali crime gang with all of the daycare centers and all the rest of the food stuff, and leaving that in place until Nick Shirley did his expose. Then they couldn't ignore it. So then they started talking about it, but still not doing anything about it. The only thing they've done is to double the budget for this stuff. Minnesota's fraud crisis didn't happen overnight. It took years, she said. But it exploded when COVID hit, right when oversight was thrown out the window. And I've interviewed a guy who audited the election, but he also was someone who looked at, this is his area of expertise. He was sent the plans for doing the CARES Act and handing out money to people that Trump had locked down their businesses or their jobs or whatever. And he said, this is going to be riddled with fraud. This is horrible. You can't do this. I said, well, we haven't had any so far. And he goes, you haven't started the program yet. Of course you don't have any fraud yet. And he goes, everything that they set up was set up to had no guards at all for any of this kind of fraud. And this is what happened in Minnesota. Billions of federal dollars for COVID didn't start the staggering fraud in Minnesota, but it supercharged the system that had already been compromised there. It's always about the money, isn't it? It's always about the money and handing it out in a way that the people in the know where the loopholes are. There had been allegations of fraud reported since 2011. By 2014 and 15, there were raids, charges, convictions of child care providers for billing non-existent or absent children, often exceeding $1 million in fraud per case. And I reported on this at the time. That's why I know that the Trump administration knew about it. This wasn't hidden. There were several people who were talking about it. It's just the Trump administration didn't do anything about it in Trump 1.0, didn't do anything about it in Trump 2.0, except to increase the kitty. Then in March and April of 2019, just months into the Waltz administration, the legislative auditor published two major reports outlining the fraud. These reports describe fraudulent providers and alleged movement of millions of dollars in cash out of Minnesota to Somalia. Whistleblowers have told us that shortly after those reports were released, the Minnesota Department of Human Services shut down the Criminal Investigation Unit for Child Care Fraud. And rather than pursuing fraud as a crime, the Waltz administration began renaming fraud as overpayment. And the federal government has a responsibility to do something about the overpayment. They didn't do anything about that either. It is bipartisan. It is the uniparty that is there. And this, I think, is the most surprising thing to me about all this when I looked at this. In 2017, estimates suggested $100 million in cash left annually. According to TSA, outbound cash was $342 million in 2024, $350 million in 2025. This is astonishing, and it is astonishing to me because the very first case that caught my attention about civil asset forfeiture was a black landscaper. I think he was up in Georgia, and he would fly down, and he would buy a truck loaded with the stuff that he was using in his landscaping business, pay cash for it, and then drive it back. So it was a one-way flight. He'd pay cash for the flight. He'd pay cash for the supplies and the truck that he's getting, and then drive it back up. Well, he got stopped at the airport because he had like $9,000 of cash. They said, you can't take that kind of cash. And he's buying a ticket with cash at the last minute. And so they intercepted him and they stole his cash. They charged the cash with a drug crime, even though there was no crime at all. He'd done this many times prior. But they singled him out for this. Why are these Somalians not being singled out? How did they get $350 million worth of cash a year out and the TSA doesn't confiscate that? I thought the TSA was treating all suitcases full of cash, and that's not treated as a crime by the TSA and the DEA and the FBI? I mean, this guy was stopped over $9,000 that he had in one particular thing. These people are doing hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the thing that I thought was amazing. No confrontation with this stuff. But again, it shouldn't be a crime. But of course, the TSA is making all kinds of things a crime that are not a crime. You are guilty and you got to prove your innocence to them. So to show the scale of this, they compared it to, it's not just in Minnesota that they're letting them take out massive amounts of cash. It's wildly disproportionate compared to other airports. Minneapolis's outbound cash is 99% higher than Dallas, Atlanta, LAX, and JFK, and 90% higher than Seattle. And so, in other words, it's about double what they're seeing in these other jurisdictions. Truly is amazing that this kind of stuff is going out all the time. But there we are with our pharma. That's Trump. He's going to help us with that, isn't he? He's taking care of all that. Well, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to not take a break here as we go to the next thing. Hillary Clinton and her BBC interview. I played an AI joke about that yesterday, but the things that Hillary Clinton said are nearly as bad as that. You know, in the joke, she threatens the BBC reporter, threatens to kill her, but Hillary Clinton interrupted the BBC interviewer, said that Trump had never criticized Putin during the interview that was posted up there. So Daily Caller talks about that because, you know, debunking Hillary Clinton's claim. She said, Trump has never criticized Putin. And you can go back and look at it. Well, the person who was interviewing her said, well, I know that's not true. He has critiqued Putin and so forth, but they have this argument about that. Clinton said that she was heartened by NATO members agreeing in June to boost their defense spending after Trump's pressure and by the president's July deal to get NATO to pay for U.S. weapons for Ukraine during an August 15th episode of Raging Moderates. Well, the military-industrial spending and the preparation for World War is something that goes back to Trump. He was casting it as, well, we're just going to pull the U.S. out of NATO if you guys don't increase your defense spending. Remember that happened? And all of the base of Trump was cheering, yes, yes, we want to get out of NATO. It was never about getting out of NATO. That was simply being used as a PR cudgel to get people to raise their defense spending. They knew that war was coming with Putin. As a matter of fact, I've talked about it many times. Alexei Arestovich, who was part of the Zelensky administration that was instilled by a U.S. coup, and he was there. Zelensky, if you remember, was elected on a campaign of stopping the civil war that was in Ukraine, because you had people from the very beginning that did not want to stay with Ukraine. They were linguistically and culturally part of Russia, and they did not like the government that was instilled by the CIA. And so the Kiev regime started shelling those eastern areas of Ukraine. And so Zelensky came in and promised peace. And Alexei Arestovich was the guy that he sent to the peace negotiations. And he came back and said, there's not going to be peace. As a matter of fact, the country's going to be destroyed. And in 3 years, we're going to be at war with Russia and the country's going to be destroyed. And, oh, that's horrible. No, but the good thing is we get to get into NATO. This whole thing was a NATO plot. And I'm not absolutely, I'm not absolutely convinced that Putin wasn't maybe invited to take these territories or whatever. I mean, he was hanging out with these people for, you know, quite some time before he became persona non grata. How would they know that it was going to be exactly in 3 years that there was going to be a war there? It was part of a globalist scheme to take us into a world war. In my opinion, yes. I can't prove it, but I strongly believe that. Anyway, she asserted that Trump's pressure had led to Europe spending more on defense than Clinton said. No, that was Putin who did that. It's, you can credit Putin for doing that. I guess we should give him credit or not. I don't know. But when we look at Hillary talking about Epstein, she had, I played the clip yesterday where she was threatening the reporter. Of course, that was AI fake for comedy. But this is the real clip from the interview here where she asked him about Bill Clinton.
What was your reaction when you saw some of the material that has been released? I'm thinking, for example, of images of your husband apparently in a hot tub in a swimming pool on Epstein's plane. What was your reaction to that? And do you know the context surrounding some of those
images? Absolutely. And it wasn't a hot tub on a plane. It was one of the stops they made to look at philanthropic and charitable work that my husband has done, saving literally millions of lives around the world.
Yeah, right.
It
just like COVID
shots.
That
was done long before there was any public awareness and certainly any conviction of any crime by Jeffrey Epstein. So it was a short period of time that was in pursuit of charitable philanthropic work. A lot of people were traveling at the same time. Many staff members, guests, other supporters of the foundation. If Bill and I had a penny for every person we've taken pictures with, we would be extremely rich today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Every time you catch these criminals, oh, we saved millions of lives doing this or doing that. And of course, that clip right there was what people used for the parody. Where
you keep saying that you didn't know Jeffrey Epstein, but your husband flew with him 26 times to party butt naked in the island with some girls. And most people say that you killed Jeffrey Epstein to silence him, just like the other hundreds of mysterious deaths surrounding you and your husband. So are you sure you didn't know Jeffrey Epstein?
Okay, look, just because I killed the guy doesn't mean I knew the guy. Okay, and can you please stop?
Yeah, that's, can you please stop asking me? You know, journalists do commit suicide with Multiple shots in the back, she said. Well, there was an article from, let's see, where is this? LifeSet picked this up. An interview with Benny Johnson with Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is supposedly connecting the dots that the media won't touch. Is he really? Actually, no. He talks about Clinton, Epstein, and the CIA. He's not going to connect that dot of Donald Trump and Melania Trump to this cabal of us there, is he? Roger's not going to do that. That's the reality of how this whole thing works. They play the partisan cards, and they're using each other to get everybody to back away from this. Saying, well, you know, our guy did it. Well, okay, then it can't be bad. And the other guy did it worse with Epstein than our guy did it. They all need to go to jail. They all need to go to jail. And it is the CIA that is at the center of this. We all knew that. We knew it from the very beginning. Nothing new to see there. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Oh, 5 a.m. run? Really? All right.
If running shoes could talk, they'd have a lot to say.
Puddle, puddle, puddle! Oh, why would you aim for it? Oh, a double knot. Someone's feeling fast today. Instead of a marathon, maybe a beer run next time.
If shoes could talk, they'd also tell you to shop Academy Sports and Outdoors for top running brands like Nike, Brooks, Asics, and Adidas. Academy. Fun can't lose.